If you've got a Bible with you, you might want to open it, if you will, please, to Luke chapter 24. And we're going to be reading from the first few verses of that, basically up to verse 12. Okay, we'll read that together. So if you get there, Luke chapter 24, verse 1 to verse 12. And this is what it says. But very early on Sunday morning, hey, that's where we are. Very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb talking, taking with them the spices that they prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified, which you would be, right? Terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He isn't here, he is risen. Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and would die and would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered what he has said. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples. Now there were 12, but Judas has hung himself, which is tragic. So there's 11 left. So it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. Now listen to this. But the story sounded like nonsense to them, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered into the tomb and saw it empty with linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. Now, my son-in-law, Chris, uses the phrase nonsense a lot. Man, it's nonsense. Now, it doesn't say it was nonsense here. It said it seemed like nonsense. It seemed like nonsense to them when they heard it. Lots of things that we hear at different times seem like nonsense. If you told people, even a few weeks ago, all the restrictions that we would be going through now amid the COVID virus, people would say, "Ah, that's nonsense. It can't happen." Like, really? Look around. Things that sounded like nonsense a few weeks ago suddenly are a reality. Now, this story seemed like nonsense to them. And you can't really blame them, okay? Because when you think about it, Jesus said some things that seemed like nonsense. Now, I'm not saying they were nonsense, but they seemed it when he said them. For instance, in John and chapter 2 and verse 19, he says this, "Destroy this temple and I'll rebuild it in 3 days." Like, to the people who heard that, especially to the Pharisees and the keepers of the law and the lawyers and the religious people, that sounded like and it seemed as if it was absolute nonsense. Why? Because the temple had taken originally 7 years to build. And he's saying that he himself can do it all in 3 days. Now, we understand now that he's talking about resurrecting his body, being resurrected after just 3 days. This temple, destroy this temple, and it will be raised in 3 days. They're looking at a physical temple and thinking this sounds like nonsense. Now, in verse 20 of chapter 2 of John, it says this, that the temple had actually taken 46 years to build. Now, that's the second temple after it had been destroyed, and they came back, and Ezra and Nehemiah and all those people, and they're saying this new one is, it took 46 years to build. So in the face of 7 years, in the face of 46 years, to say that you're going to do something in 3 days seems like nonsense. It just doesn't really actually make any sense. Just like the things that we're going through now. Like I said, doesn't make any sense. Now, there's a lady called Mary Eberstadt. Strange name. It's not her fault. Her parents gave it to her. Mary Eberstadt. And And she says this, that there's no atheists in foxholes. Now, people say that Christians shouldn't say that. So Mary Eberstadt took that saying, there's no atheists in foxholes, and she changed it. And what she says is this, there's no atheists in critical care units. Now, when you think about this crisis that we're in, there's people praying who've never prayed before. There's people crying out to God who've never cried out to God before. There's people looking for answers who've never looked for answers before. Why? Because everything we've relied on up to this point is being taken away, one thing at a time. There's a financial crash happening. There's businesses closing. There's all the security. You can't even do retail therapy in a lot of places because the shops are shut. So all these things are being taken away. And so there's no atheists in critical care units. Now just think about that for a moment. So when we look at all this, and when we look at all the things that seem like nonsense, we can dismiss it outright, which the people did when they heard Jesus say that he could rebuild the temple in 3 days. They totally dismissed it. Now we have a choice. Faced with things that seem like nonsense, faced with an empty tomb that seems like nonsense, faced with a resurrection from the dead that seems like nonsense, faced with the fact that God says in Genesis that the creation story happens, that people say seems like nonsense, we can react to those things in totally different ways. Now, Peter reacts in a certain way. Now look at what it says. So if you skim down all the way to verse 12, and this is what I want to talk about this morning, very briefly. This is what it says. After it seemed like nonsense to them, and they didn't believe it. Verse 12, however, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look, and he stooped and looked into the tomb. So you can disbelieve this all you want, but if you're going to disbelieve it, at least disbelieve it from a point of view of personal investigation. Peter doesn't want to take the word of the women. He actually wants to investigate this for himself. And so he jumps up and he runs. Now, that's an invitation to us to actually investigate these seemingly nonsense claims that there's an empty tomb, that Jesus is risen from the dead, proving that all the things that he said about himself are actually true, that he is the Son of God. And so Peter leaps up, runs out, stoops down, and literally looks into the tomb himself. He looks in. And this is this invite that we get from the Gospels to look into the tomb ourselves. Please don't take my words for it. Don't take your friend's words for it. Look into this yourself. Psalm 34, I think, is the psalm. It's around there-ish. Says, don't take our word for it. Taste and see yourself that God is good. Taste and see. Find out for yourself. Look around. Have an investigate of this yourself. Look down and look into it. Because if we don't investigate this for ourselves, it still seems like somebody else's religious nonsense. That's all it seems like. So Peter goes and he looks into the tomb, and then it says this. It's what it says next. It says he looks into the tomb and he peered in and he saw the empty linen wrappings that Jesus had been wrapped up in, the grave clothes. And then he went home again, wondering what had happened. Now listen, obviously we're not there at the original event. And people debate this all the time. Did they steal the body? Did they bribe the guards? Like, what did they do? And we don't know. It's a matter of faith, this. It's a matter of faith. But the crucial thing is that we know that something happened. Something happened. Now, later on in the story, a few verses later, Peter isn't absolutely sure of what happened until in verse 24, Jesus reveals himself to his disciples. That's in Luke chapter 24 and verse 24 and 25. Jesus turns up himself in a locked room and reveals himself to his disciples and said, look guys, it's actually me. And then Peter finally believes. And he experiences this thing that Romans 6 and verse 4 and 5 talks about. You can flip to that later. Romans 6, verse 4 and verse 5, and this is what it says. It says that Jesus was raised to newness of life. And Peter, from the depression of denying Christ and seeing his hero crucified, seeing his body taken down from the tomb, wrapped and put in a grave, all of a sudden gets this newness of life given to him. Can you imagine that? From the depth of depression, he gets this thing that Romans talks about, the newness of life. Now, I don't really know how to explain that, the whole newness thing. Other than, like, we bought a Dyson vacuum cleaner, right? And if this is sexist, just don't stone me, right? I don't vacuum often. My son does. And Miriam does. But when we got our new vacuum cleaner, a new Dyson, I unpacked it, put it together, and I vacuumed. Why? Because it was new. It was a newness thing. And I vacuumed that. Now, I vacuum every now and again now, but when it was new, I wanted to experiment with it, right? And this newness is what Peter experienced. Now, there's all sorts of things that we substitute for newness of life. People, like I said before, retail therapy, people go out and do stuff, or they go on new holidays, they buy new cars. People swap relationships for the excitement of the new relationship that they might be chasing. They get new jobs because they get bored and fed up with different things. They move from house to house to house to house to places, different countries, all substituting for this newness of life that Jesus actually offers. And even when you're listening to this, some of you think, but that sounds like nonsense. But then this thing happens. A little bit later on, we've read from Luke chapter 24. The second part of Luke's writing is a book called Acts. And in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes along and confirms in Peter's life this newness. And he gives him power that floods his life so that he can actually experience the full newness of God in his life. Now, Christian stuff may seem like nonsense. It's so funny. There's a lady on Global News, and she does a report every morning at 8:15-ish on Global News. And her name is Mercedes Stevenson. And she does it from her home, and there's a bookcase behind her. And what's funny to me is just over her right shoulder, so it's the left-hand side of the screen as we watch it, just over her right shoulder, there's a book, and the title on the spine of that book is Fiasco. And she's talking about all the chaos of the coronavirus, and there's this title of this book. Now, if that distracts you later on when you see Mercedes doing her thing, then fine. But it just says Fiasco. And in the middle of the chaos of this coronavirus, in the middle of the seeming nonsense that surrounds the coronavirus, in the middle of this fiasco that's written on this book, we get this offer for newness of life. What a great offer. It's an incredible offer, an incredible thing to think. And my encouragement to you today, my encouragement to myself today, is to look into this personally for me. I don't want to take this and just believe it or be told to believe it. And I would never do that. My invitation to everybody is take this book and investigate it yourself to see what you think happened. Investigate this while you have the time to do it. It's funny, I was talking to Tim Unruh this morning on the phone. And he said that it's just been an impression that he's had during all the restrictions of different things that are happening right now at the time that we're in, that we take so much for granted, or have done. We've taken for granted the ability to meet together in Christian circles. We've taken for granted the ability and the freedom that we have to meet in churches. And right now we don't have that. And we've taken that for granted in the past. And we've said, maybe I won't go today. Maybe I, you know. Well, maybe this whole coronavirus thing is bringing us up a little bit short and yanking on our chain and saying, hey, don't take this for granted. Tim was saying this morning to me on the phone, really encouraging chat with him. And he said, we often think that we've got more time than we have. So don't put off stuff that you could be doing now and today and right now. And one of those things is to investigate this stuff, to look into it, to find out if it is nonsense or if it's something that you can actually base your life on. It's Resurrection Day. There was a song by a guy called Dave Eastman, and its title was, it's Resurrection Day. You won't find a body in the tomb. It's Resurrection Day. So today on Resurrection Day, in the middle of all the chaos, the fiasco, and the nonsense that life is throwing us, look at this. Look at it yourself. And ask the Holy Spirit to help you. He is risen. Look into him and find out what he has to offer you and me in newness of life. Our lives, maybe, from this moment on, might not be the same. And that's exciting. It's tragic too. And if you're hurting this morning, my heart goes out to you. It really does. And if you're scared this morning, my heart goes out to you. But I've looked at this seeming nonsense and it's changed my life forever. Like I said earlier, I can't remember the last time on an Easter Sunday morning that I was not in church. It was probably, I don't know, maybe over 30 years ago, 35 years ago plus, before I started to look into this myself. So today, wherever you are, take the invitation to look into this, to see if it's nonsense, or to see if it truly is Resurrection Day for you, and accept the offer of newness of life. Bless you. Have a great day.